Do you wish healthy didn't have to be hard? What if there was another way? Well, there is. And it's the Jade Walkaway, where healthy is delicious, easy and exciting, and doesn't have to mean saying no to chocolate and red wine. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Jade Walkaway. I'm really excited for this episode because I've got a special guest all the way from Canada. So we have Megan Ashley, who I actually discovered online one time when I was starting out the ARP protocol, also known as autoimmune protocol, which is something we're going to be diving into in this episode, and you'll get to find out why it could be useful for you. So firstly, a little bit about Megan. So she is an elementary school teacher turned certified holistic nutritional consultant from the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. She uses holistic nutrition, lifestyle factors, and the paleo autoimmune protocol to work with clients with autoimmune disease, inflammation, to help them feel good from the inside out. As a very busy person herself, Megan has found a way to make the ARP doable for even the busiest people. Megan Ashley began writing recipes for the paleo ARP, not only to expand her personal arsenal of recipes while following the ARP herself 5 years ago, but also to help others recreate their favorite recipes while embarking on their autoimmune journey. She is a green beauty junkie and has more lip glosses than cooking utensils. Her website is called It's All About AIP, and you can find her on Instagram and Facebook at It's All About AIP. And if you are loving what you hear today from Megan, you can also join her free Facebook community, It's All About AIP community. So Megan, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing really, really well. It's nighttime here, daytime for you. We have the huge time difference, but I'm doing well.
So it's 12:18 here. What's the time? So 12:18 p.m. here. What's the time there?
So it's 8:18 p.m. and it's Sunday here and it's Monday for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And before we get into this, can you paint a little bit of a picture what the weather's like there at the moment?
So I actually have a funny story about this because, we have a lot of snow still. Like, the roads are clear, but, in our yards, there's still a lot of snow. So there was still 3 feet of snow. And yesterday my husband got super frustrated with all of the snow and he started taking the snowblower, and he actually was taking all the snow and blowing it onto the road and onto the driveway so that the grass was cleared off.
Oh, really? Wow, that's crazy. So is that something that you have to go through most years?
Yeah, I mean, usually we do still get snow up until May, but we don't normally have like this much still just sitting there. So this year, I think, is kind of a bit of an anomaly. But I think 7 years ago, if I look back on my Facebook posts, 7 years ago, we had this much snow.
Wow. Crazy. I would love to see that. I mean, in Victoria, you know, we get a little bit of snow, but certainly not something that we would see on our front yard. So the first thing we do before we dive into today's topic is I have two questions that I ask everyone, and that is, what's your favorite healthy food or thing to do, and what is your favorite indulgence?
So I really am a blueberry fan. Which I know maybe is not everyone's favorite healthy food.
Oh, no, I have to agree with that.
Oh, you do? Okay. So obviously they're really high in antioxidants, but the real reason that I love them is that there's like different varieties. So here in Canada, we have like the wild Canadian blueberry, and they're actually really tiny. And I really like them for baking. A lot of the recipes that I make, people will say like, why do your blueberries look like strange in the photos? And, or they'll say, my blueberries had way too much water. And I'm like, it's because I use these little wild Canadian blueberries that don't hold a lot of water, and they're perfect for baking. So those are definitely my favorite. And then I would have to say my favorite activity, healthy activity, is yoga. So last June, this is something that I like finally started doing. It was always something on my list, like, I would really like to be one of those cool people that do yoga, but I never really like committed to doing it. And then I was going through a really stressful time at work, and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I've been like hooked ever since, mostly just for like the way that it makes my mind feel. Like it really calms my mind. And stress management is something that I struggle with like in my own personal life. So I really find yoga is, it's my new jam. I'm one of those cool yoga people now.
I can totally relate with that. I remember for years and years just thinking, I really want to do yoga, and you know, I'm really flexible. I reckon I'll be good at it. And, you know, but there was this little bit of vanity coming through before knowing what it actually does. You know, like you said, I just wanted to be cool and do yoga. but then once I finally did find yoga, I was like, wow, this is something completely different. And the other thing, bringing up those blueberries, it's funny you say that, how Canada has these special blueberries, because I know a few people that do actually import their blueberries from Canada because they've read that they're so good.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I mean, to import those blueberries from Canada to Australia is expensive. You know, some people are just, they spend so much on that kind of thing. And, you know, if they love that thing, that kind of thing, then great, do it. So what about your favorite indulgence?
So I was thinking about this question and I was like, I feel like this is not that exciting, but mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have this brand, in Australia, but the Siete tortilla brand, do you guys have that?
No.
So it's essentially just like grain-free tortilla chips, and they have different flavors, and they're so, so good, like closest thing to the real deal, because I can't do corn, so I love them. And then if we're not talking food, I would probably say it's makeup. That's like my favorite indulgence. When I was in university, I literally used to go every 2 weeks to, you know, the makeup store, and I would like be there while they were unpacking the products, and I would be like, can I take that one and that one? And then I'd run out of money and be calling my mom like, oh, I just don't have money for food for the rest of the month because I spent it on makeup.
That's so funny. Those corn chips sound amazing, by the way. So what's the base of them?
So they're made with cassava mostly, and they would be AIP. The only thing is that they have chia seeds in them, but they're like ground up. So most people still tolerate them. Mm. And then they do have like a cheese version, which requires dairy. So I don't do that one, but they have like a lime one and then a plain one, and they're super, super good. Mm. I pay like $9 a bag to get them from the US to Canada.
Wow, that is a lot.
I'm just like the blueberry people.
yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, I get it, because when we have different dietary restrictions because of different conditions, I mean, for me, it's endo, and there you cannot sacrifice your health for saving some money. You know, like you can either have the $1 bag of corn chips and it's going to make you feel like shit and it's going to cause you to flare up and it's going to cause all sorts of hell, or you can spend a little bit more, still feel good about it, and it tastes good too. So
yes, definitely a win. I'll maybe have to send you some sometime.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And it's funny, like when you said it's made from cassava flour, that does remind me that there is a chip, I can't remember what the brand is, that my friend works at a health food store, and she, when I was doing ARP, she got me onto these particular chips. Actually, these ones were made from plantain, I think. Okay. So that was, you know, a little bit, it was good to be able to have something that I could have as a bit of a snack. Okay, so I'm sure by now everyone's wondering, what is AIP? What's the autoimmune protocol? So first I want to find out a little bit more about your story. So what led you to find the AIP protocol? What exactly happened in your life?
So, I mean, this stems back like to a very young age. So for the first 10 years of my life, I was like that sick kid, chronic pneumonia, asthmatic. So, you know, tons of antibiotics, all those things in those first 7 years, you know, being put on ventilators in the hospital once a week. I lived in a town where there was a pulp mill, and that caused me a lot of issues. And interestingly enough, when I was born in the 80s, everybody smoked still, including my dad and my grandparents. And when I was a baby, like within the first few weeks, every time somebody would be holding me and smoking, I would like throw up. It was like chronic throw up all of the time. And I find this so, so interesting because nicotine is in the nightshade family. And I don't do nightshades like at all now. And so I just think that's so interesting. From like the third day of my life, I was not tolerating nightshades. But so anyway, I was very chronically sick as a kid. And then in my teenage years, like those kinds of things started to go away, like the chronic pneumonia and ear infections and things like that. But I started to have a lot of like skin issues. So back when I was like 11, 12, hitting puberty, I actually started to get like skin bumps and rashes, eczema, and doctors, you know, they didn't know what it was. They would just give me like lotions and potions, steroid type creams, which of course made it go away like temporarily, but then it always like would come back. And then when I went to university, I think this probably pushed me over the edge. Of course, I was like living on caffeine and, you know, not eating very well because I was like spending all my money on makeup and buying the dollar corn chips, going to Taco Bell with my friends, staying up late. I'm a huge procrastinator, so I pulled all-nighters, you know, handed my paper 5 minutes before it was due. So really just like not prioritizing my health in any sort of way. I was really one of those people that was like, you can sleep when you're dead, like live for the now, have a good time. So I did all of that. And my health, like by my third year of university, like just had completely deteriorated. And I actually had gained like 80 pounds. And I was just like, what is going on? You know, everybody's saying it's like the freshman 15, because you're not living with your parents anymore. But it was like out of control. Like my eyebrows were super, super thin. And of course, so, you know, I went to the doctor because I was thinking it was something thyroid related, because everyone in my family on the female side has Hashimoto's. But of course my TSH was always in range. And then I was starting to have a lot of stomach issues. So I went for like ultrasounds, things like that. The only suggestion was to cut out coffee. So I did that, and I did experience like some relief from cutting out coffee, but it was still like not great. The weight continued to climb. I had like zero energy. It was like going up the stairs was like putting me out of breath. And I'm like, you know, 20 years old. Like really, it was just crazy when I think back to it. And my skin issues were still there. And I actually, they started to get worse. So I started to get a lot of like acne in my like chin area, like cystic acne. It was very painful. Again, like doctors are just putting out prescriptions to use that I didn't ever feel comfortable using. I was trying to use like high quality products from like department store brands, but nothing seemed to work. I actually remember there was a time when I couldn't even go outside for the entire summer because every sunscreen I tried like broke me out into hives. It was like awful. Like even the baby screen sunscreens were just like giving me welts. So then I ended up graduating. I mean, still feeling like crap. And I came back to my hometown and I got a job right away teaching. And teaching is a very exhaustive job for those of you that don't know. But anyway, I started teaching and I was doing some reading about, you know, like how I could improve my energy and stuff. And I thought, I'm going to try going gluten and dairy free. Like, I'm just going to give that a go. It actually seemed like that was kind of the in diet at the time to go like gluten-free. So I gave that a try for about 3 or 4 months, definitely experienced like quite a lot of improvement. I think I lost like 20 or 30 pounds. Energy was up a bit. I wasn't falling asleep like at 4 PM every day. But then, you know, still kind of having a lot of those digestive issues and the skin issues. So then, I kind of like made it my mission to sort of like scour the internet. So I would like stay up late and tired and be looking for, especially my skin issues, because when I would go to the doctor, like they literally didn't know what it was. And I knew there must be something like a name for it. Like there had to be a name for it. So I scoured the internet and I found this lady named Tara Grant, and she wrote this book called The Hidden Plague. And I read it, like I stayed up all night reading it. And the way she described her symptoms, I was like, holy crap, this is what I have. It was like, like everything in my life, like had just connected. And I was like, this is what I have. And she had mentioned that she used the paleo autoimmune protocol to completely put her disease into remission. So I went to the doctor. I was like, this is what I have, HS, hidradenitis suppurativa. It's very hard to say, so I just say HS. And they were like, oh, yeah, okay, we'll send you to a dermatologist. Anyway, yes, that's what I had. What can I do about it? Oh, nothing. There's nothing you can do about it. This is just something that happens. You can use triclosan to try and kill the bacteria. It has nothing to do with bacteria, by the way. So anyway, I was just like, I'm going to do this diet. And I took 3 months, which I know sounds kind of strange, but I like mentally had to prepare for this life change because it was such a pivotal moment in my life. Like I just knew I was never going back to my old life. So it was like, I had a tequila party with my family and I ate a lot of red velvet cheesecake. Like I just had to do all the things that I knew I wanted to do one last time.
Wow.
So that I could 100% commit. So I did. 6 years ago, it was actually my 6 year anniversary, in March. And I did the AIP. I didn't know anybody who did it. I live in a small town. And in 8 months, I completely like got rid of all my acne. I put my HS into remission and I had lost 80 pounds. My energy was up. Like I was just, it changed my life. It really, like, I'm a completely different person than I was 6 years ago.
Wow. And I love that you have an anniversary as well. Like you know that that was that life-changing point in your life. It's almost like that's when you were born again kind of thing, you know?
Yes. And I knew it was going to be.
Yeah. That's amazing. And so, yeah, like you said, there weren't many people who, I mean, not a lot of people still know about AIP, but how did you, so you came across AIP. How did you feel when you first read it? Did it sound really foreign or did it just make sense to you at the time?
I had, so obviously like being that I was struggling with my weight, like beforehand, I was trying like every diet out there, you know, like the Atkins diet and Slim Fast and all of these like different ones, Nutrisystem. And of course, like I always lost around like 20 pounds, but then it was just like nothing was happening. And I always say that like overweight people are actually the most knowledgeable about nutrition because we've read a lot about it. We've researched it. We're like, what in the heck is going on? You know, calories in, calories out, I'm exercising, all of that stuff. And then you always hit that plateau. And then, you know, you can't keep that up because then you're like, why am I putting in all this effort? And then the cycle starts again. So it didn't seem that strange to me, like of you can have this and you can't have this. I think I just really knew it was going to be like a lifestyle change forever this time, because everything I read about it, like just made so much sense with the inflammation. And I had finally found someone who had the same disease as me because I always say I diagnosed myself, like, I'm sorry, doctors, but like I had to come in there with the printout and be like, this is what it is. Right. Mm. And I know, like I live in a small rural place, but I always tell this story because I think like people go into their doctor and they feel like they're crazy or they're making up the symptoms. Like you are not, you're 100% not. And you have to keep advocating for yourself. Like, I just always think if I had just like believed what they said, like what would my life be like now? Mm. You know, how would I feel? Mm. And that's like, I just can't even imagine it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is pretty much my job in a nutshell, is helping people realize that, one, that, you know, they're not crazy. They do have something, even though their test results constantly tell them that they're normal. And two, you know, there is something that we can do about this. And, you know, sometimes there are people that, and I don't mean this in a judgmental way, but they have just become so attached to their sickness and this idea of it that they don't want to know that there is another solution because it becomes right. their identity. And so sometimes when I meet someone who, say, for example, has PCOS, like polycystic ovarian syndrome, or even Hashimoto's, and, you know, they've just been going through the usual run-of-the-mill doctors and ultrasounds or whatever it is, And then when I tell them that, oh, you can put that into remission and live symptom-free, they're so shocked and they can't believe it because no one's ever told them that before. And then to some people, I sound a little bit woo-woo or crazy because they just can't believe it. And I'm like, no, this isn't crazy. It's actually even in the research that there are these things that can help with these conditions. And, you know, sometimes people say, okay, I'm coming along for the ride and we'll help them live symptom-free. Other people are like, no, I don't believe you. And, you know, and that's fine. They're just not ready for that journey yet. But one thing I do want to come back to for you is you said your TSH was always fine. So did you ever go back and get some further thyroid studies done?
So, yeah, funny that you mentioned this. So, you know, every year or two when I would go to the doctor for checkup or whatever, I would ask them to check it. It continued to always be in range, like at the very low end. My eyebrows like never did grow back. I just have a really good eyebrow pencil now. and the weight sort of did like stabilize out, but like I still carry around like an extra 15 to 20 pounds that I really like can't seem to get rid of. So, and then the energy, there are a lot of fluctuations. So I always would go back and ask, TSH is in range. And then I actually started to have some rheumatoid like symptoms, in 2019. So I got a referral after pushing, going back to the doctor. I remember he said to me, well, I guess we're looking for a needle in the haystack. So I'll get you the referral because you're not going away, are you? And I was like, no, we're going to find the needle. So anyway, he sent me, and specialists can order here in Canada any test they want without being questioned. General practitioners will always tell you like they get their hand slapped if they order too many tests of a certain nature, which probably is true. Anyway, so I said, can you just like, you know, check off some of these thyroid ones, check my thyroid antibodies, like, please. And he was like, oh, sure. Yeah. Like, that's fine. So anyway, then when I met with him, he was like going through it and he was like, oh yeah. And you have Hashimoto's. Did you know that? Like, I almost started to cry because I was like, my God, like I'm 29 years old. I started talking to my doctors about this when I was 20. And like, finally, somebody is saying to me, yeah, you do have Hashimoto's. And then when I went back to my general doctor, he was like, I'm still not really convinced that you have Hashimoto's. I mean, this could just be a stage of your life. Like, I mean, there's fluctuations. So we'll just kind of see how it like pans out. So, you know, like it, you really have to be your own advocate. And then I started working with a naturopath to manage my Hashimoto's since I wasn't getting much help on the other end.
Oh, and this is just, it's sad that this is a common story. I hear this so often, particularly with thyroid. And, you know, my own naturopath also was saying to me, you know, especially at a young age, your TSH usually is going to be within range because, you know, it's just a sign that, you know, things are functioning with that communication there. However, when you look underneath the surface and you look at your free T3 and T4 and reverse T3 and your antibodies and stuff, that's when it tells us that something is really not right there.
Yes.
So, yeah, how telling. So I would love to know more about now, what is the AIP? Can you tell us what is the main crux of it and how do you do it?
So it's basically an elimination diet and a lifestyle. I always really like to emphasize that lifestyle part because anytime I've done a diet before the AIP, there was no lifestyle in there other than the exercise piece, of course. It was always so much diet and nutrition based. But this is an elimination diet, but it's also a lifestyle piece. And it basically helps with reducing inflammation in the body so that we can reset the immune system and help heal a leaky gut, which, of course, is an underlying issue for most people with autoimmune disease. And so this diet is, you know, designed to help manage your symptoms, in some cases reverse them. And then it focuses mostly on like nutrient density, gut health, and then hormone regulation and immune system regulation.
Right. And so what about the foods that are included?
So this is always the part that people are like, I mean, I would be rich if I had a dollar for every time somebody said like, okay, so what can't you eat? And then what can you eat?
Yeah,
like literally
exactly.
It's the question. I used to actually get super annoyed at people, especially at my work. Like they would like see me eating my lunch or something. And, you know, obviously physically most people saw the weight loss. So they were like, what are you doing? Like, I want to do that. I'm like, oh, okay. I would tell them, oh no, I definitely don't want to do that. So I always like to like more so focus with people like on the yes foods rather than of course the no foods. But essentially what you're doing is you know, the science shows that certain foods trigger inflammation in everybody. But if you have an autoimmune disease, you generally have far more inflammation than the average person. So the idea is that if we eliminate these foods that can cause inflammation in people for, you know, 30 to 60 days, sometimes it's much longer. And then we strategically reintroduce those foods one at a time. Once the immune system has come back down to normal and it's not so overstimulated, we can get a clearer picture of which foods are actually you're reacting to and which foods are not. So the yes foods are, of course, like lots of vegetables, all foods that are easy to digest, essentially. So fruits, vegetables, carbohydrates like plantain, sweet potato, we were talking about cassava earlier, squashes, and then seafood, high quality protein, emphasis on the high quality there, organ meat, bone broth, and lots of healthy fats. So those are kind of the foods that we emphasize. And like I said, we're going for high nutrient density, easy to digest. And we really want you to eat a range of foods so that you can get the most minerals and vitamins from your food. And then the other thing is fermented foods. So things like sauerkraut, kefir, kombucha, one of my favorites, so that we can populate the good bacteria at the same time.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've done AOP myself before and gotten other clients on it. And like you said, I mean, even though yes, there are a lot of restrictions, which we're going to talk about in a minute. When you do lay out the foods that you can have, like you said, like just good quality proteins, healthy fats, and there are still an array of fruit and vegetables that you can have. And if anything, it's not as restricted as, say, the low FODMAP diet, which I get a lot of people on, which obviously has its place. But yes, let's talk about the sad stuff then. What are we cutting out on the AIP protocol and why as well?
So, of course, the no list is a little bit longer, but it's meant to be temporary, right? So always try to focus with people that it's not meant to be a forever thing. The only food that I generally don't ever recommend people reintroduce is gluten. So gluten and grains, those contain lectins that basically aren't fully broken down by the digestive system. And so those little fragments end up in the intestine and they cause gut damage. So we talked a lot about how a leaky gut is like an underlying piece to autoimmune disease. And so basically all of these foods I'm going to talk about that we remove either cause inflammation in the body or they cause intestinal permeability, which meaning they're creating those little microscopic holes in the intestine and allowing those little pathogens, particles to leak out into the bloodstream, causing the liver to drive up inflammation in the body and also causing the immune system to turn on and essentially be on all of the time. So we have gluten, grains, dairy. Dairy is also, of course, like a common allergy along with eggs. And then legumes, again, those are high in lectins. Nuts and seeds are high in phytates, and they're hard to digest. And they're also a really common allergy as well. Nightshades, that is one that my husband always makes me laugh. He's like, are nightshades like a vegetable with like a lampshade on their head? Or what is going on?
I love that.
And I always like Google that, like, do nightshades, I remember I would like in the beginning, are nightshades like anything to do with like a lamp? Like what is going on? Where do they get the name from? Mm. So nightshades are essentially like a botanical family of plants. They all sort of look the same. And there's about over 2,000 of them. And most of them are actually highly poisonous and toxic to humans. So for example, I always give this example. Potatoes are a nightshade. And you know when you have a potato and it has like eyes growing on it or it's like green and your mom always told you like, make sure you don't eat that, like peel that part off. So that's sort of what we're talking about there. If you were to consume nightshades in very high quantities, it still can actually be toxic to you, even if they are the ones that humans can tolerate. So they also contain lectins and saponin, which are inflammatory, causing that intestinal permeability. And they also exaggerate the immune response as well. A lot of people that have issues with gluten, so like celiacs, for example, often the missing piece for them is actually nightshades. And I find that when we say like, hey, let's take them out, they're like, oh my gosh, my joint pain is better, my digestion is better, because the way that they interact in the body with the gut is very similar to that of gluten. So nightshades are things like potatoes, eggplant, and I know potatoes are a really sad one, you guys, and tomatoes, hot peppers. And then it includes like all of those spices. So like paprika and chili powder. And basically paprika, I don't know if you know this, is basically in every spice blend in the world. So nightshades are harder to avoid than gluten, in my opinion. Like if you go to a restaurant and you say to someone, is there any nightshades in that sauce? They're like, what? And then when you say, well, like tomatoes, potatoes, hot pepper, they're like, no, I don't think so, because nobody would think paprika is a nightshade, right? So those are actually very tricky to avoid. And when they have done testing, they actually often see increased markers of inflammation in people after they've consumed nightshades. Alcohol is also out. I was actually thinking about this one. Yeah, I was like, okay, well, obviously alcohol does not help with healing in any sort of way. But actually, again, it causes that increased intestinal permeability. And even though they're very small holes, they actually like create gaps in the junctures of the intestinal wall and allow larger molecules to get.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to tell you about my new teas in the Jade Walker tea range. If you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen lots of new teas come out, but particularly at this time of the year, and in light of what we're talking about with the immune system, I have two brand new immune teas. Now, it's really important you understand the difference because they do two different things. So we have immune strength, and that's all about strengthening your immune system to protect you against infections and help to prevent you from getting sick. And then we've got the immune relief, and that is for symptomatic relief when you actually do get a cold or flu. Now, the thing that's amazing about the immune strength is that it uses adaptogenic herbs that help to strengthen the immune system, but in a way that it modulates. So if you have an overactive immune system, it'll help to bring it down. If you have an underactive immune system, it'll help to bring it up. And what people are absolutely loving about this tea is that it contains a very unique flower called blue butterfly pea, and it goes this beautiful, vivid blue. And then what's even more cool is that when you add something like lemon or lime, it actually changes purple, which is really like magic. And it contains Siberian ginseng, astragalus, and licorice root. The immune relief, on the other hand, contains all sorts of beautiful naturopathic herbs that are going to help with a sore throat, reduce cough, fevers, and help to reduce the severity of the cold by being an antibacterial and antiviral. So if you want to get yours, you can head to jadewalker.com.au.
They actually like create gaps in the junctures of the intestinal wall and allow larger molecules to get through. So it's actually kind of one that you really do want to avoid, especially in those initial phases. These are very sad, these next two. Coffee and chocolate. I actually just tried to reintroduce chocolate for like the 17th time in my life. And it's still a no, guys. It's still a no. And I actually told you that back in university, I removed coffee. Like the doctor had said, well, maybe it's coffee and you should pull it out. And I really thought it was the caffeine. But actually, coffee and chocolate are seeds, and they have like protective compounds that are really irritating to the gut and hard on the gut. And so they are still two foods that my body does not like, sadly. And then, of course, the last few things are things that most people should be avoiding. So like processed foods, vegetable oils like canola or peanut oil, food additives, and sweeteners. So xylitol, stevia, even monk fruit, those are all out on the AIP initially.
Yeah. So when you look at it like that, you're like, oh God, what do I eat? But I think one of the big ones for a lot of people is tomatoes. Because tomatoes make up a base for so many things that are common foods that are often, you know, inflammatory and irritating, such as lasagna, spaghetti bolognese, like a lot of Italian cooking.
Pizza,
exactly. I mean, but then you've got also the gluten and the dairy and maybe some chilies as well. So it's just like AIP hell on one pizza.
Yeah, essentially.
You know, one of the big ones for me definitely was chili and spices. I realized how much that was irritating my gut so much. And this is something I want all the listeners to take home as well, that even though ARP does stand for autoimmune protocol, you may not necessarily have to have an autoimmune disease for ARP to still be effective for you. Particularly in my clients, anyone with real bad gut issues, gut irritation, and the intestinal permeability, also known as leaky gut, taking out those gut irritants just has such a profound effect. So, like, sometimes I tell people you could almost just call it the anti-inflammatory protocol as well, which still stands for ARP, because that's essentially what you're doing. And going back to the saponins and the lectins, you know, in herbal medicine, we would learn about these different actions because, for example, saponins, sometimes we want saponins for certain actions, certainly not someone who has autoimmune disease or a lot of gut issues, but saponins, the word gets its word from soap. So, or soap probably gets its word from saponins actually. And so when you think about soap, it creates that lathering effect and it cleanses things, but at the same time is also very irritating when it does that. So there are certain herbs that contain saponins that we would actually use for, say constipation, because it helped, but it is a little bit irritating to the gut. But for that same reason, that's why we want to take them out in a lot of people, because it is a gut irritant. And then like your lectins as well, they evolved in the plant kingdom as a protective measure. And like you said, they are toxic because that plant created that protective mechanism so that when some bug or animal comes along and tries to eat it, they'll get that really bitter taste from it, from those lectins or something that's going to make them sick or whatever. And so they won't touch that plant afterwards. And so we as humans consuming those lectins in micro amounts for the human, but obviously it's mounting this low grade inflammatory response that we're not aware of at the time. And I find that so often the case with a lot of things that we try and communicate to people is that, you know, these things you may not notice straight away. And so people don't associate that fruit or vegetable with causing harm because they're like, well, I feel fine right now. And it's like, yeah, but like tomorrow you might feel something, or as if you keep eating these foods, then you're going to trigger your autoimmune disease and so on. So, yeah, it's so much that goes into it.
And I was just thinking of this because I had a client from my last group coaching program, she reached out to me today. And I always tell the story of, you know, a lot of people will say to me like, no, I know that dairy doesn't bother me, or I know that these nightshades, like they're not an issue for me. And I say, just give me 30 days, like just pull them out. You can do anything for 30 days and pull them out and then we'll see. Mm. So they pull them out. Okay. And she texted me today actually. And she said, you know, I put like just one crack of black pepper, like on my salad today. And I mean, I used to go heavy on the pepper. Like I was a pepper queen. And she said, and I took one bite and my mouth was on fire. Like I couldn't believe it that I had eaten so much of it and always felt fine. And now I'm like have a burning mouth after eating one bite with like one crack of pepper. And that just is an analogy for, you know, you eat dairy every day or you eat it a couple times a week and you pull it out for 30 days and then you eat it, you know, over 3 days or a week, and you might actually see some symptoms because you've brought the immune system back down so that it can actually communicate to you and let you know when something's causing an issue.
Absolutely. Oh, that was so telling for me as well. One thing that I was often getting was, like before I did ARP, was I would eat foods that would seemingly be healthy meals. And especially because even chili, you know, you're told like, eat lots of chili, it's good for your circulation and so on. And it is in for some people. But I would have certain foods and my tongue would actually swell up like quite instantly, and I could never put my finger on it. And it would really like, it would get indentations on the side because my tongue would swell up so much. I mean, it never blocked my breathing or anything like that, but it was really uncomfortable and it would take like about an hour to go down. And when I did the AIP, I noticed that that completely went away. And I never actually put my finger on exactly what food group it was, but I think that it was definitely like some of the chili and the spices and those real pungent things that were just causing that inflammation really quickly. So, yeah, it's a pretty amazing diet. And the other thing that I love about it, although I don't like to say diet so much, but, you know, the word comes out. you know, AIP, it's something that anyone can do, and they don't need to go and buy a whole heap of supplements and do, you know, and there are certainly times where you have to take supplements for sure, but this is something that's actually quite low intervention from my perspective as a naturopath. Whereas I know it is a bit overwhelming for some people, but I say, hey, you can either do this, make some minor changes with your diet, therefore it's not really that different financially, maybe a little bit more for better quality products, or you can go and spend $1,000 on supplements for the next 3 months. What would you prefer? Like, you know, so yeah, it definitely is an amazing protocol. So with that, though, obviously there are a lot of challenges that come up along the way. Challenges, though, that when you work with someone like yourself who is all over the ARP protocol, you can obviously help people along the way. But what are a few of the really key things that people do struggle with?
So definitely mindset is like a huge thing, like you were saying. So people feel overwhelmed often when they see the yes and no food lists. They think, oh, there's nothing I'll be able to eat. Or they assume that they're going to have to buy like all of these packaged like AIP products. And when I started the AIP diet, those did not exist. So there was no plantain chips, that, you know, there was none of these AIP cookies. Now there's like AIP cookie mixes that you can buy like Betty Crocker style, and, you know, just add maple syrup and some oil and you're good to go. Like, it's changed so much. And like you were saying, it actually is a more affordable option in the sense of like, no, you just like go on the perimeter of the grocery store and buy those things, and that you don't have to buy anything special, right? But it's very overwhelming for people, because I also find that nowadays a lot of people, because we're all so busy, like we've gone away from cooking. You know, like a lot of people, that just stresses them out. That's an added thing for them to do. Or maybe they just really don't even know how to cook. So that's definitely something mindset-wise that we have to work on. Obviously, I'm a recipe blogger first before I turned nutritionist. So I definitely was raised, you know, being not, I don't want to say rewarded with food, but like if I got a good report card, it was like, we're going to get ice cream, you know, like, and I always, my mom's always like, don't say it like that. And yeah. I'm like, but, you know, that's how it was. And so that mindset is hard to change. So that's why I created, if you go to my website, you will see the baking dessert section is exponential compared to like the salad section. Because that's what I needed like initially, to get through that first little while, because if there was a Mother's Day or a birthday or whatever, I needed to be able to have an alternative option so I could stick with it. Because this is the other issue I see people having or struggling with, is they can do it, you know, for a few weeks or even a month. And if they need to do it longer, the reintroduction process, which we'll talk about later, is very lengthy. And they just simply do not have the patience for it. They often rush it because they just want to get all those foods back. So having some options for them along the way to help them, you know, enjoy the comfort foods, celebrate with their friends and family, because food is very social. We know that. That really seems to help. I also do a lot of work with them on, you know, developing a growth mindset, because many of us have a fixed mindset without really realizing it. So the first thing, you know, I say to them is, do you get to change your diet to change your health, or do you have to change your diet to change your health? And that right there, in the way that they word it to me, is going to tell me if they're going to be successful or not. Sometimes I literally will say to people, I don't think you're ready yet. I just don't think you're ready. And often it really comes down to you making the decision for yourself, because obviously you are the only one that's in control of improving how you feel. I mean, we could talk about how it's the doctor's fault or, you know, whoever's fault, but really it is ultimately up to you. And so if you're committed to that, then I'm ready to work with you. So then we kind of move into things like motivation. Motivation definitely does not show up every single day. If you've ever tried to do a workout program, you know that. You know, the first week you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this every day. I'm getting up at 6. I'm going to do it before I shower. And then by the second week, you're like, I don't know why I ever said I wanted to do that. The same thing happens with this diet. People also get into recipe ruts. That's another thing. So I develop a lot of meal plans for people because they just get tired of eating the same types of things, or it feels restrictive. But there are actually tons of different flavors you can mix up that people would never think of. And then they're like, wow, that kind of tastes almost spicy, right? So we can do some switch up with that. The other thing, obviously, is time. Like I said, people are super busy nowadays. And also, if you have autoimmune disease, often one of the main symptoms is fatigue or exhaustion. So that's also something that people struggle with. I am also very busy, like I said earlier. So I have developed sort of a batch cooking process where we cook twice a week. So in my programs that I teach, we do a Sunday, Monday, and then a Wednesday or a Thursday, and that's all your meals for the week. And then we also have some leftovers that we can put in the freezer. So in case you have a day where you're really just not feeling up to it, we're setting you up for that success, because you have to make the AIP convenient, and it's not a convenient diet. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that you intentionally plan for it being convenient. So like literally I have like, you know, 5 purses, maybe a backpack, whatever. I've got like, you know, plantain chips in there. I've got like some dates with like a little container of coconut butter, and you'll find it in my car, at my work, because you have to set yourself up for that success. Like you are going to sometimes be out and not be able to get it home for dinner. And you don't want to then say, guess I'll just go to McDonald's or right. Like you need to set yourself up for that success. And then the other thing is that this diet can be very, very isolating because, as you said, nobody really knows what the heck this diet is unless they have an autoimmune disease. And even then, it's still a small percentage of us that actually have heard of it. Also, a lot of people just don't even know they have an autoimmune disease. That's a whole nother topic. But many people are on thyroid medication and they were never told they had Hashimoto's or Graves' disease. So that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, essentially not having a community can make this really, really hard. Like I said, I used to get very annoyed explaining it to people because there was nobody that had even like a frame of reference as to why I was doing it. And I remember the day that I met somebody who knew what a paleo diet was. And I was like, you are my new best friend. And we actually stayed friends for like 2 years. And then we kind of drifted apart. But I literally think the only thing that drew us together was the fact that we had the diet kind of in common. And then the other thing that I see is that people just focus on the nutrition piece. So they do not include any of those lifestyle pieces. And actually, the diet piece or the nutrition piece, sorry, is the easiest to manage because it's very controlled. So you can say, here's all my meals. I'm going to set them all up. This is all I'm going to eat. But then you go to work and somebody gets mad at you and you get super stressed out. That's not as easy to control, right? So sleep, stress management, movement, that mindset piece, all so, so important. And often if you're neglecting those, a lot of people will say, oh, the AIP didn't work for me, but they only really focused on that diet piece. And most people can only focus on the one. Like, to be honest, it's such an overhaul to your life. I mean, totally worth it, totally worth it. But it is such an overhaul initially. I always recommend people work with a coach because it really helps, you know, just take some of that off of you and they can help you sort of manage that a little better. And then the rushing reintroductions, like I mentioned earlier, because I did 30 days and I'm going to have the chocolate. Chocolate and me are going to be A-okay. So they rush it. And then they're like, yeah, it was fine. And then they rush the next thing and then the next thing. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm flaring. I don't feel good, but I have no idea which of those 3 foods it was. So I'll go back to AIP and do another 30 days of elimination phase. And that cycle continues for a lot of people. And then this is something you could probably talk more about, is underlying issues. So obviously the AIP diet is a great starting point. Like you said, it's low intervention, but often people with autoimmune disease have other underlying issues in addition, and the diet will make drastic improvements to their health. But sometimes, you know, you hit a roadblock and you need to work with somebody who can help you uncover those issues.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Everything you just said is just so golden. Like, where do I even start? What, like what you said about you know, probably, yeah, like you said, one of the hardest things for a lot of people when people don't cook or they don't even like cooking and they're really busy and they're a mum and they're at work and, like, where do they even find the time, let alone find a cafe on the way to work that's going to have ARP-friendly breakfast, you know? And that was the biggest challenge for me, is if I wasn't preparing my meals, I was screwed. Like, yeah. I would actually have to either A, starve, or B, just cave and get something that wasn't ARP friendly. And then it was just constantly going backwards. And so, yeah, you do have to be prepared. But like you said, working with a coach and working with someone like yourself who really knows this diet, has done it themselves, knows the absolute ins and outs, and is armed with amazing recipes, which I'm going to go through in a second, then, like you said, it takes that weight off their shoulders and just kind of, like, it's almost like someone is helping you along, like that they're next to you helping you cook almost. It's like, you know, yes, that it's just taking that weight off your shoulders. And I just wanted to tell people a couple of the amazing recipes that are on your website. I've got your website up in front of me at the moment. And like I said, this is how Megan and I came to meet each other, just because I was looking for recipes one day. And then when I started getting my clients onto the ARP diet and wanting to show them where to go for good recipes, that's how I came across It's All About ARP.com. And oh my God, the recipes are amazing.
Thank you.
So there's, like, just on the first page of the recipes, so we've got ARP stroganoff and mashed potatoes. There's shepherd's pie. Oh, hang on. The first one's not ARP, is it? Is that?
No, they're all AIP.
They are. Okay, there you go.
So yeah, it's so, mashed potatoes, like faux.
Yeah, yes, exactly. We've got shepherd's pie, black forest cake cookies, chocolate chip cookie dough. And for those of you who are like, I thought we couldn't have chocolate, well, there's carob. And we've got, what else? Cinnamon coffee cake. Oh my gosh. What's the coffee flavor?
So, I mean, it's as close, I guess, to coffee as you're going to get. But mostly I just use kind of like a cinnamon base. So I use like a little bit of cinnamon and ginger and some coconut palm sugar in there. And then I also used tiger nuts kind of like ground up as a topping, sort of like, you know how coffee cake has that sort of topping. And I have brought that to work potlucks. I work with 60 other teaching staff and I always label it like, you know, AIP. And of course everyone's like, or I'll say it's top 8 allergen friendly. Like, okay. And people like honestly are like, they'll come to my room after and they'll be like, is there any more of that cake left? Like, you know, because people don't expect it to taste that good. And like, I'm going to tell you that there are like some AIP recipes, you know, that are like kind of meh, but I am a true foodie. Like I told you, I like believed in like living life, eat the churro at the fair, the mini donuts, you know, all of those things. So when I recreate a recipe, like, I promise you, it's going to be as close as it can be to the real thing.
You're talking my language. I honestly, I'm the same, being a foodie, growing up in a real gourmet loving family. MasterChef is my favorite show through and through. And I can't just settle for like a shitty trail mix, you know, like when people say, oh, you know, they eat healthy foods and they just have like the most bland salads. And I'm like, that just doesn't cut it for me. It's got to be packed with flavor and delicious. And so when I do these protocols, I'm the same. Like, and that's why I loved your recipes, because like they actually taste amazing. And also with the spices, because I cook with a lot of spices, particularly Indian spices. And so that one was a bit hard for me. But I found that you actually can make some pretty awesome ARP spice blends with like the things you were talking about before, like ginger, cinnamon, all your leaf-based herbs, obviously.
Yes.
And plenty of salt. We all love our salt.
And flavored salts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. There's just so much you can do. So another thing that you brought up before was obviously there are still some underlying things that may be left over after the ARP protocol. Yes. And like you said, ARP will certainly fix a lot of things, and then whatever's left over, then we address that. And for me, one of the things that I do notice a lot is that, because on ARP, some of the ARP-friendly foods such as cassava, plantain, those kind of more starchy vegetables are like really no good for, say, SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And then also it still allows things like garlic and onion, which flare a lot of people up as well. And so I found that when I was on AIP, there were some things that I was all of a sudden eating a lot more of, and I was getting really bloated from that because I had SIBO.
Yes.
And so I did a bit of a low FODMAP / AIP hybrid, which was like hyper restrictive. I wouldn't recommend everyone do that. But, you know, one thing at a time, and that's, again, why you want to work with someone who can help you through it. So with all of these things that we've talked about, obviously I'm sure that there would be plenty of people who would want to work with you. Where can they find what you do, or if they want to have an online session with you, how can they do that?
So the best way, of course, is to just head to my website. It's allaboutaip.com. Generally, I have a work with me page. It's under construction because I'm updating it this week right now. So usually you'd be able to go there and find like my recipes, all my lifestyle posts, and then you could find my work with me page. But right now, if you are interested in working with me, on my website, I am running a group coaching program that starts May 3rd. It's open to anybody wherever you are in the world. And it's basically a 30-day AIP back to basics group coaching program. So this is essentially good for anybody who is brand new to AIP, for somebody who has tried AIP on their own and, you know, couldn't stick with it or just found it too overwhelming, or people like myself. I will be doing the AIP again with you guys as a reset. So a couple times a year, I tend to do a reset just to sort of help bring the inflammation back down, because as I bring those other foods, I reintroduce them back into my diet, sometimes I get sort of a cumulative inflammatory response. So some of the foods, like for example, goat dairy, I can eat goat dairy around 3 times a week and feel okay. If I do any more than that, I start to get a little bit of acne, a little bit of bloating. And so over time, I feel like if I eat it, you know, every week for 3 days, over time, I just start to feel a little bit more inflamed. And as you become more in tune with your body after doing a round of AIP, you will know, and you'll be like, I think it's time for me to do a little reset. So generally in the group, about 50% of the people are brand new. And 50% of the people have done AIP before in some way. Maybe they even just want to do reintroductions again because they were one of those people that rushed them and they want to come back, do 30 days of elimination phase, and then they might want to work with me after at doing reintroductions. So if you're wanting to do the group coaching, like I said, we start on May 3rd. I usually run it a couple times a year. And then the other way is you could work with me one-on-one. So I usually offer 6-week or 12-week programs. Essentially, it can be working on whatever you would like. Usually people want like some sort of troubleshooting with the AIP, or they really want help with that reintroductions process. That seems to be the most difficult part for most people, just because they don't know if they've had a reaction. Like the number one question I get in my DMs is, I ate this, I think I feel fine, but I don't know. What could my reaction be? And that's such a hard question to answer because the reaction is so unique to everyone. But in my program, even in the group coaching program, I do teach you how to properly track, symptom track, and know whether you're ready to reintroduce that food permanently into your diet or if it's maybe something that you should wait and come back to. And then I also, this is a popular one that I just started offering because I got so many requests for it, is weekly meal plans with shopping lists and prep instructions. So essentially you can get just a general AIP meal plan from me for a week, or you can get something custom. So let's say you want to do AIP, but you don't tolerate coconut and you hate mushrooms. So you would basically tell me that and I will make your recipes without coconut and without mushrooms. So those are kind of the different ways that you can work with me. And then you can also reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook. It's All About AIP. And feel free to email me if you have questions about any of the programming. It's all about AIP at gmail.com.
Perfect. Wow. That sounds amazing. Especially the 30-day back to basics. I think, like you said, there are so many times where people start protocols and you know, they just, it wasn't the right timing for them, or it was too overwhelming. And that's so normal. And I think it's so good that you've allowed a space for them to kind of come back and do it again, guilt-free, you know, just let's give it another go. So I love that. So
to, and I always say there's no better time to do the AIP than in quarantine, because you do not have to worry about eating out and nobody's inviting you over. So just do your thing at home.
Yes, 100%. Oh my gosh, this time truly. I know that it's not the same for everyone, and I'm going to put that caveat out there, because there are certainly some people who are under more pressure than ever right now. But certainly a big portion of people are actually whinging that they're bored or that they can't go anywhere. And it's like, well, why don't you get stuck into that health regime that you've been wanting to do for so long? This is actually the perfect time. Yes, so two things that I round up these episodes with all my interviewees, is two extra questions. And one of those is, what's your number one health hack?
So I think this one, it's fairly simplistic. And yet in coaching with my clients, this one always seems to be the one that they're most impressed by. It's free. You can try it tomorrow or today, wherever you are in the world. So when you're eating, I just want you to sit down, take 5 deep breaths before you start eating, and then just chew your food. Now, I know that sounds kind of strange. I always talk about chewing your smoothies and people think I'm really weird, but I promise you, if you chew your food, so I always tell people, just start with 10 chews per bite, and work your way up to 20. You are going to eat less, your digestion will improve, and your body is going to absorb more of the nutrients. And so generally you will feel so much better after eating. So just give it a try. I know it sounds weird, but it's free, and you will feel a lot better.
100%. And do you know, you're actually the second person to say that as an answer to that question.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's definitely not strange. It's so true. And I remember when I first was told that, probably 4 or 5 years ago, when I was a student going through my degree, and I went to the student clinic and I was having a lot of digestive issues, and they told me that. And it actually is life-changing, just chewing your food properly. And the one thing I noticed is I was always that person that would like wolf down my meals and just eat really, really quickly and then get really bloated. And I would be like the first person to finish.
Yeah.
But then I'm like the last person to finish, and because I'm like really, really chewing my food, and it makes.
And then you make everyone else feel self-conscious that they ate too fast because I'm so slow now.
Yeah, totally, totally. And what about if there was one thing that you could change in the current healthcare system, what would it be?
So I probably kind of alluded to this earlier, but I really just wish that one day the focus has switched from like treating symptoms that are already there to a more preventative approach. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about, in all of my clients, I'm like, you know what, go to your doctor and ask for this blood work. And so many times they come back like, nope, they're not willing to order it. Like we were talking about the thyroid panel. That's a really common one here in Canada. And the other one is vitamin D. So Health Canada has decided, of course, that everyone is deficient in vitamin D based on where we live, which is true. And they, in the last 2 years, they actually upped it. So they told everyone to take 1,000 IUs a day. And then they said, oh, you know what, actually, everybody should take 5,000. But of course, you know, some people could be taking in too much vitamin D, because obviously we store it in the body. And then there are people like me, and often a lot of people with autoimmune disease, that are in the extremely deficient range. And when I finally got mine tested, I paid for it, of course, because my doctor said they were not allowed to order it. I was like, literally like 3 away from 0. Like my doctor was like, she said, you basically have no vitamin D. And I'm a teacher, and so I teach 7-year-olds. I literally had a cold for like the last 5 years, every 2 weeks, honestly. And over 6 months, I still was in the moderate deficient range after 6 months of supplementation in high dose, but I literally like get 2 colds a year now. Like it's literally life-changing. And people mention it to me all the time. Like, oh my gosh, like you're not sick all the time like you used to be. Mm-hmm. And keeping in mind that I was someone who does all of the AIP lifestyle stuff. I don't eat, you know, crap food. And yet I was still getting colds all the time. And it was simply from not having enough vitamin D. Mm-hmm. So I just really hope that we can make that switch to being, let's be preventative and let's get everybody up into optimum levels, test everything so that we don't end up with an issue later down the road.
Oh, 100%. I think vitamin D is one of those vitamins that, honestly, if everyone's levels were optimum, we'd probably have half the conditions that we see these days. Like I think a lot of people only associate it with bone health because that's what the ads say. And yes, it is very important for bone health, but my gosh, it does so much more than that. Yes, absolutely. So, Megan, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today, and you've answered more than I even could have imagined on the AIP, and I hope that this is helpful for people. I certainly know that I have clients and even fellow naturopaths and nutritionists coming to me all the time asking me about AIP, so now I can send them to this podcast. And I hope
thanks so much.
You're welcome. I hope that other people reach out to you and get on top of your program. Once again, her Instagram and Facebook, it's all about AIP, and her website is it's all about AIP.com. Bit of a mouthful.
I know, I had to say it three times, right? Sorry.
Well, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having you on.
Yes, thank you. Definitely reach out to me, you guys, if you have any questions about AIP. I'm always around, and thanks again for having me, Jade.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know. Take a screenshot and post it onto Instagram or Facebook and tag me in it. I always share the love as well. And if you want to continue the conversation, ask me questions, start conversations, and most importantly, meet like-minded people, because I know it's hard to find people that are into this kind of thing as well. Head on over to the Jade Walk Away community on Facebook, where you just search for the name Jade Walk Away community and I'll let you in. I look forward to meeting you in there. Bye.